tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 16th of January 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. It's a Friday and I guess you'll be listening to this either in your lunch hour at work in America or maybe on your way home from work if you're in Britain. And we know why you're here today. You're tuned in today because we have with us a most special guest that we have on Fridays, and that is Grandpa Dan. Grandpa Dan, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
Oh, things are going all right. And I see today we've got a story coming over from your side of the big pond. I'm convinced at this point that perhaps the UK's sole purpose in this world is to make the rest of us feel better about wherever it is that we live.
Well, I guess that could be something to do with having Keir Starmer as our Prime Minister. We do seem to get a lot of news stories from Britain, but I do try to find some from America, particularly for Fridays. Well, this one concerns Britain, and it also concerns Holland, and in a way it also concerns America. It's about cancelling of so-called right-wing commentators. And this particular instance concerns a Dutch political commentator, Eva Vlaardingerbroek, and she has been banned from visiting the United Kingdom. And the article that I'm using to quote from is from Breitbart. Dutch political commentator Eva Vlaardingerbroek revealed that the left-wing British government has barred her from entering the United Kingdom after allowing in over 41,000 illegal boat migrants, most of whom are unvetted military-age males. The Home Office has apparently drawn the line at 29-year-old commentator and recent mother Vlaardingerbroek. And I've had a look at the Wikipedia page for Miss Vlaardingerbroek, and of course they attack her and they call her far right and all the other insults that they like to throw at us. But she's effectively a commentator, a sort of GB News style commentator that actually goes on GB News, and she goes on with Tucker Carlson in America. And yet somehow they think that she is a threat to the United Kingdom. And I like the way here they contrast that with all these foreign people that are coming in that we know nothing whatsoever about, that have lost their documents, that if they're from Afghanistan, we know they're 20 times more likely to commit a sexual assault than the British people. That's absolutely fine. But it's not fine for this right-wing political commentator to come into Britain. And they also make this big point that it's the left-wing British government that has done this. But this isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened lots of times under the Conservative government. In fact, it doesn't really seem to matter which government it is that you have in Britain. They don't like us to listen to anybody from outside Britain that has nationalist sympathies. Grandpa, what were your first thoughts at this on seeing this article?
Well, my first thoughts are I'm impressed that you pulled that name pronunciation off as well as you did, because I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to say this woman. We're going to go with this woman because I know I'll butcher the name up and it would be 100% unintentional. We have to, as we look at the UK, we have to think, you know, maybe being banned from the UK is actually a blessing in disguise. You know, I mean, I would just like to say for all of the British government officials that probably monitor Radio Albion, do not worry. I have no intention of ever coming and visiting. So you don't need to be on high alert looking for me rolling into the airport, because it isn't going to happen. This is not shocking when you think about it, because this is the way these things always work. They always start with these crackdown, with these restrictions on the people who are more shall we say, on the fringes of things, you know, people who are more outspoken, people who are, you know, maybe a little more controversial, that, you know, people say, well, you know, that person, yeah, they're coming off kind of rude, the way they're putting things off. So they're unsympathetic. You know, they can portray them in an unsympathetic light. We'll put it that way. But the way it always goes is then they start tightening the circle. You know, and then they start bringing it in, and people, as you say, this person really, they go on something like Tucker Carlson or GB News, you know, fairly more mainstream platforms. But that's the way it always works. You know, they start off, when they do these things, they do people that are a little more further out there, a little more, like I say, for lack of a better term, fringe, because everybody shrugs that off and says, well, I'm not those people, so I don't care. But inevitably, they tighten the noose. They make the box a little smaller and a little smaller and a little smaller. And now you have people like this that start getting censored, that start getting restricted. And with this going beyond censorship, this saying you're not even allowed in the country, like you're some sort of super high risk threat or something. And obviously, this person, this woman, is not any sort of high risk threat. But like I say, it's really not surprising, because this is what they always do. And this is what all governments do when they're becoming more and more oppressive, you know, more and more paranoid. When you see these sorts of things, you know, I think it's important to bear in mind that this is not the actions of a government, of a system that is confident in their role. This reeks of paranoia. This reeks of being really, really afraid of any sort of actual criticism, and really, really afraid of the truth. It's symptomatic of an illegitimate system. And I try not to go off on one of my tangents about how illegitimate these systems are, but you can see it. You know, a legitimate system isn't worried about some person that personally I have never heard of coming into the country and giving a speech or something and being critical of the government, because they know that they're legitimate in the eyes of the majority of the system, and people shrug that off and say whatever. A system, a government that is not confident in that is scared to death to have anybody criticizing them whatsoever. And yeah, you know, like you say, in the context of just showing how they don't care, they have all of these tens of thousands of people, more than that, coming into the country that they know nothing about. It just, again, highlights the lie of, you know, this woman, people like her and her ilk, are real threat to our values, our democracy, of who we are.
Yes, they see her as a threat simply because she criticizes them. You know, it was probably 2016, I think, when Matthew Heimbach was banned from Britain and Richard Spencer were both banned from Britain. Of course, both of them have sort of turned their backs on nationalism now. And Matthew Heimbach is an avowed communist. And Richard Spencer, well, I'm not quite sure what Richard Spencer is, what word best describes him. But both of those were banned from coming into Britain. And that was under a conservative government. And I'm sure there are others that I'm just not remembering the names of them, because it is quite a common thing to ban people. And I do like actually pronouncing this word, Vlaardingerbroek. It's, it's a fun word to pronounce. It sort of sounds South African to me. Well, Eva Vlaardingerbroek, the prominent critic of mass migration and the Green Agenda, revealed on Wednesday that she had received an email from the UK government informing her that her electronic travel authorization had been cancelled, preventing her from travelling to the country without a visa. The communique read, "Your presence in the UK is not considered to be conducive to the public good. You cannot appeal this decision." Vlaardingerbroek questioned when it had become a requirement to be conducive to the public good to enter Britain, and whether this standard was being applied to the thousands of illegals who cross the English Channel. Well, I guess their answer to that would be, well, we don't want these illegals to come across the English Channel, but they do, and then they're on our shores, and then we just have to look after them because they claim asylum. But if she was just to turn up there and cross the English Channel, I'm sure what they would do is send her straight back to America. That's the difference. And saying here that she cannot actually appeal this decision, so she's got no say in this whatsoever. She's not allowed to She's not allowed to even say, well, I think you're not being quite right there. What are you basing this on? They're not telling her what they're basing it on. They're not telling her what the evidence is. They're just saying that it's not considered to be for the public good. And who are they to decide what is for the public good? I guess they would say that they are the elected representatives of the public. So they see themselves as being in this position where they can just ban people from entering the country. And again, it's not just Britain that does this. In Hungary, I think Hungary banned Richard Spencer. It might have even been Greg Johnson from Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor was banned from Hungary because he wanted to hold a conference in Hungary. And Greg Johnson has been banned from Norway, I think, or it might even be Sweden. I mean, there are various countries in Europe that just ban right-wing commentators. I mean, even in Britain, there was an American Baptist preacher, and he wasn't even attempting to visit Britain. He just wanted to stop off in Britain on his way to another country. And nope, they wouldn't even let him do that. So this is quite common that this happens. And at least now it's starting to get recognized. And it's just, you know, how can they say who can come into the country and who cannot come into the country? You would hope that maybe the Dutch government would complain about this and say, look, this is an insult to the Dutch people, because we're supposed to have an agreement where we allow your people to come in and you allow our people to come in. It's not good. Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
One of the things that I really dislike about these bears, because it's all part of, to steal one of Matt Johnson's terms, the regime, it's all part, you know, all these countries. One of the things I find really repulsive about their oppressiveness is the way they try to cloak these things in moralistic terms. Your presence in the UK is not considered to be conductive to the public good, according to who? I mean, we're throwing around terms like they this, they that. Well, who's they? I mean, according to who gets to make this arbitrary decision? Is there a committee that makes this decision, or is there just a single bureaucrat in the UK that has decided this particular person they don't like and you can't come in the country? You know, according to who? They always cloak these things in these moralistic terms when they're obviously very immoral people that are doing this. And it's just really sickening. I really hate the way they do that. It's really off-putting. Now, if you live in the UK and you read this, it's easy. Remember what we were talking about earlier. They start out here at the fringes and then they work their way in. If you live in the UK, it'd be easy to look at this article and say, well, I live here, so this doesn't have anything to do with me. This doesn't concern me. This is about people trying to come here. So it'd be easy, and it could be really, really tempting to shrug this off. And I'm going to tell you why that is a mistake. And what really red flagged me as you went through this first paragraph in this segment, Sven, is the UK government informing her that her electronic travel authorization, her ETA, had been canceled. So that means she can't travel to the country without a visa. I know. And I don't know how far Liz along you can enlighten us on this, but you know, the British government is currently pushing for this digital ID. You may not be in another country trying to get into Britain, but if you think this isn't a heads up, a forerunner of what you are going to be subjected to if this digital ID gets pushed through. And obviously they plan to push it through. They'll start going, oh, this is just going to be about making sure kids aren't getting inappropriate information on the internet. And we're not going to make everybody get it. Only they're already saying, well, once a child's born, they're going to get assigned a digital ID. Trust me, everybody is going to be forced. Their plan is for everybody to be forced to get a digital ID. And guess what? These sorts of draconian restrictions and this heavy-handedness is going to apply to you. When you have if they're successful in establishing a digital ID, then you're going to be facing the same situation. You'll get an email notifying you that you have a strike, or perhaps you're going to be restricted in some manner. You're not going to be able to go out of town. They can watch everything you do, and you know, maybe lose some access to your bank account, or you're going to be fined and it's automatically coming out of your account via your digital ID. And you won't even know from who. It'll just be, you'll get an email from whoever. Is it like I said before, is it a committee? Is just some individual bureaucrat who now has found a crumb of power and they're going to beat you over the head? You're not going to know. So this does pertain to you. If you live in Britain, this isn't just about people coming in. When you see this, once they got this electronic travel authorization, you see, if they implement the digital ID, this is going to be you, only on a mass scale. It'll be domestically. And again, obviously, these governments, they don't care what the people think. They don't. They don't care. You don't have any say. But at the same time, the more pushback the public can give, the more difficult you can make. They plan to implement it one way or the other. But the more the public can resist, and if enough people will resist, sadly, history tells us they don't. But if enough resist long enough, you can at least stall it off. You can at least forestall it, push it off. It's something to be resisted at all costs. Because this is a glimpse of your own future domestically. The digital ID, this electronic travel authorization, see, they're going to use the same tactics. Imagine being reliant on this digital ID that they're trying so hard to sell everybody on for convenience. You'll have your thing. You just have you wave your phone around and it's going to be great. Once it's in place, look forward to the days when you get just a random email from the government saying that you violated something they don't like. And now you have restrictions on it. It's something to be resisted. You see all these warning signs. And sadly, so many people wind up just sleepwalking off into the trap.
Well, they have said that they're not going to make it compulsory now, this digital ID. But then other commentators are saying, yes, but they're still bringing it in through the back door. As you highlighted there, they're assigning a digital ID to every child that's going to be born that will stay with them for the rest of their life. It's just the current generation of people that might be able to say, no, I don't want one of these. Don't want one of these. They may force it upon everybody that's got a criminal record, for instance, or they could use or anybody that's getting benefits. They could say, well, if you're going to be on benefits, then you need to have a digital ID as well. There's all sorts of things that they can do to say that it's not actually compulsory. Getting back to the article here, she said that the email had come out of the blue, as she was not planning to travel to the United Kingdom imminently. However, the Dutch activist said that she had been planning to speak at a rally organised by anti-grooming gang activist Tommy Robinson in May, an appearance which will now presumably not happen. Lardingerbrook noted that the decision to bar her entry came just 3 days after she criticised Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer over threats to ban Elon Musk's X platform over supposedly lewd images produced by the Grok AI service. Keir Starmer wants to crack down on X under the pretense of women's safety, while he's the one allowing the ongoing rape and killing of British girls by migrant rape gangs. Evil, despicable man, she wrote last week. And this has been all over the news recently about how Britain was going to de-platform Twitter over people using Grok to make lewd images. And what they were saying on the news over here is that it was being used for child pornography. But it turns out what it was being used for, because it can't be used for that, it was being used to make pictures of Keir Starmer in swimwear and a bikini as a joke. And when you look at it, you think, well, if they want to ban people for doing that, why don't they ban pens and pencils? Why don't they ban people from drawing? Because if somebody's got a pen and a pencil, they could draw a lewd picture. And this AI service, it's essentially, that's all it is. It's up to the individual. If the individual breaks the law with what they create it for, then the individual should be prosecuted for that. But you can't just say, well, the whole company will ban the whole platform because we don't want people to misuse this. What about all the people that aren't misusing it? And this bit here where she's saying about Keir Starmer wanting to he's the one that's allowing this ongoing rape and killing of British girls. This Lucy Connolly has been critical of Keir Starmer as well this week. She said something about if Donald Trump is going to just kidnap President Maduro, how about he comes to Britain and kidnaps Keir Starmer for what he's doing in Britain? And she was sent a warning from her probation. Lucy Connolly was the one that was sent to jail for the same offence that I was for the same length of time. And she's being told what she can and cannot put on her social media feed by probation. She's being told that she's not allowed to criticize Keir Starmer effectively. And what it looks like here is that because this Eva Vladingerbroek has criticized Keir Starmer online, that's why they've banned her from coming into the country. I mean, it's the sort of thing that you hear happening in communist countries, not that you expect to be happening in the so-called free world. Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
This is just reality crashing down. Again, you see this framing, they always frame this stuff, again, in this fake morality. Oh, we got to protect the children, women's safety. We've got to protect the children, and it's about protecting kids. They always do this. They don't care about that. You know, at this point, pointing out some sort of hypocrisy here is just, it becomes tedious because we all know they don't care about that. We know what happened with the grooming gangs and how the police were afraid that would be racist to do anything about it and may have even been participants in it. Now, well, it drives me crazy though, because people could, this is why I say quit buying in. I always tell people quit buying into the system, quit, you know, because you see people in the same thing you see over here. They're still buying into the system. This statement here, Keir Starmer wants to crack down on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I just won't, because it's a personal thing. I don't know. Anyway, under the pretense of women's safety, while he's the one allowing the ongoing rape and killing of British girls by migrant rape. See, it's the Labour Party. It's Keir Starmer. But we know those grooming gangs, the famous grooming gangs, that was going on while the Tories were in power. You know, acting like, oh, this just started with Keir Starmer, who's extremely unpopular. No, this was going on when the other party was in power. So you're getting the same thing regardless. You know, Keir Starmer, I've said this before, and again, I don't pretend to be really keen on politics, but I do understand these systems for what they are. You know, Keir Starmer and the Labour Party did not come into power over the Tories because everybody woke up one day and decided, well, we really love the Labour Party and Keir Starmer would be great. It's because after a while, the Tory voters just threw up their hands and said, well, there's no point in voting for these people. They never do any of this stuff they say they're going to do. They're a bunch of liars. So they stay home. And by default, you get the Labour Party in here who goes in and just doubles down on all the things you hate. To say that, you know, to act like the frame that it is the Labour Party and Keir Starmer. It's like over here where you have things, levels of corruption and the system's failing here in America, and you'll have, you know, Democrats, you know, cheerleaders for Team D, they act like this all just started under Trump. Like it wasn't going, it hasn't been going on for decades. You know, oh, it's just started because Trump's in there. Or if a Democrat gets in, then the Republican cheerleaders act like, oh my gosh, look what these Democrats are doing. Like, this isn't a long-term problem. Like this hasn't, it's like having cancer. And then once you start manifesting painful symptoms, acting like this is a brand new thing when you've actually been carrying a tumor around for 20 years, the whole system is, the whole system is one big tumor. It's not just Keir Starmer. This is the Keir Starmer and the Labour Party is the symptoms. They're very desperate. And the reason I think it's important to point this out is they're very desperate to keep people buying into the system. Get out there and keep voting. Keep signing off that the system is legitimate. The one thing they're very, very afraid of is holding an election and no one even bothers to show up and vote. If that happens, then their legitimacy paradigm cannot be defended. They can't gaslight people into, oh, yes, you have a representative government that listens to you. You don't, but they have to keep that illusion up. They hold an election and nobody bothers showing up because you know what you're going to get regardless. This is what they're afraid of. This is why they always want to encourage people to criticize the other side. And instead of facing the reality, it doesn't matter which side you get. Keir Starmer's horrible. He is just absolutely awful. But if he was not in there and you had the Tories in there, how much different would it really be? I mean, seriously, how, you know, They might dress it up a little different. I guarantee you at the end of the day, if the Tories were in there, you'd still be hearing about digital ID. They would just be telling you, oh, it's to stop the terrorists. Or once we get the digital ID, then we'll be able to crack down on the immigration. See, we haven't done it so far, but if you just go ahead and sign up for the digital ID, then we'll start shipping people out of the country. They're not. They would be pushing for the same things. They would just dress it up differently. This is why they're so hell-bent on keeping people in that paradigm. It's because of this party. It's because of that party. If we vote for this guys, these guys, you're going to get something different. Even though you have decade after decade after decade of voting to prove you never get anything different.
It's an extremely fragile and weak system that can't stand up to scrutiny. It can't handle being criticized by one Dutch female. And what it also says, really, is if you're going to have a famous right-wing speaker at your event, don't tell people, don't make it public that you're going to have them speaking at your event. Because if the government hears about it, then all they have to do is just write to them and say you're not coming into the country, and that's it. You've lost your speaker for the event. So if anybody is putting on events, I recommend you don't tell people who's going to be there until they arrive on the day. Well, amid a growing climate of censorship in which over 12,000 people are arrested per year over social media posts, it has become increasingly commonplace for the British government to bar right-wing political figures from entering the country. And I also have to point out here that this 12,000 people arrested per year over social media posts is actually far more than that. That's just the number of people that are arrested for malicious communications under the Malicious Communications Act. That's not the people that are actually arrested over the Public Order Act, which is what you're far more likely to actually be arrested for. That's the one that I was prosecuted for, was breaking the Public Order Act. So it's not just the Malicious Communications Act, which they say here is 12,000 people, but it's also the Public Order Act. So it could be double that number. Could be 24,000 people that are arrested. We just don't know. We have these figures for the malicious communications because the Free Speech Union did a Freedom of Information request on it. But what they really should have done is also asked for the number of people that were arrested under the Public Order Act as well. And as we were saying, it's not just left-wing governments, it's right-wing governments as well that do this. It's the Conservative Party as well. US Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy, Sarah B. Rogers, noted, countries have been banning and restricting visas on opaque, frivolous viewpoint bases for a long time. Lauren Southern was banned from the UK in 2018 for blaspheming Allah as gay and trans. Media and commentators who were silent or approving of these decisions now fault Trump admin policies. And I'm quite impressed that she actually knows the alt media, because I mean, Lauren Southern was part of the alt media at the time. And this is the Undersecretary of State that is actually saying that. I mean, it was something ridiculous that Lauren Southern was saying, calling Allah gay and trans. I mean, that is being deliberately inflammatory. You have a lot of people that get banned from coming to Britain who aren't inflammatory. I don't think this Eva Vladingerbroek is inflammatory. I don't think she's just trying to shock people with what she's saying. She's just speaking the truth. But it does show here that America is aware of this, and they are aware of the people that have been banned. As we'll see in the next paragraph, they list off a number of people that have actually been banned from entering Britain. But do you want to say anything about this Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy and what she has to say here, Grandpa?
Well, again, you see the framing here, the British government banning right-wing political figures. But is that really correct? They're really banning people that are critical. For instance, I know George Galloway. I believe I got the name right. He got hung up at the airport coming back in here fairly recently, within the last couple of months. And he got harangued, and they tried to get his phone from him and everything. And I don't think he's considered, and I may be wrong, necessarily right wing. And yet, you know, he got hassled. Him and his wife were hassled at the airport. It's more about being critical of the government. A legitimate government is not paranoid about criticisms. Now, yeah, this U.S. Undersecretary of State, Britain kind of is serving right now a role of being a whipping boy, because we have all of these things here, for instance, in the US, going in a really bad direction. But you have the UK right now, and I do believe probably somewhat intentionally being over the top so that people in the US can look at the UK and go, wow, it's really bad there. And hopefully you don't notice the things here. For instance, this quote here, this paragraph that you read here about the Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy, this Sarah Rogers talking about this banning, restricting visas on opaque, frivolous viewpoints. She uses the example of Lauren Southern making these derogatory statements about Allah, which I think is, you know, I'm not Muslim. I think that's in poor taste. You know, it's just because it's insulting people just for the sake of insulting. I don't like that. I don't like when people do it. And they're using this Sarah Rogers is using this as an example. But if at the time Lauren Southern had been banned for, say, I don't know, criticizing Israeli policy, would Sarah Rogers be using that as an example? Because I don't think she would. I don't think they would have a problem with that. Now, we had also recently, we have to remember that we had J.D. Vance and we've had other, I think Marco Rubio got in on it, political figures here in the U.S. criticizing Britain. Like I say, Britain is serving a role here to look more over the top so that people here domestically in the U.S. think that, well, at least we're not like the U.K. And yet, I sent you a link, Sven, referencing the U.S. is also basically doing the same thing. If you're coming into the U.S. now, for at least from certain countries, I always start with certain countries. You have to present however many years history of your social media posts. Take a face verify, because they'd say a selfie. What that means is they're looking to put you into their facial recognition software. You have to do all of these things, give them your information, your whole history of social media posts before you can even visit as a tourist, not come here to live, visit as a tourist. And see, the idea is that flies under the radar because you can point at some place like the UK and go, man, look how crazy they are. At least we're not like this. And then American political figures from the Trump administration can come out and criticize the Starmer government in the UK for what they're doing. But they're doing really essentially the exact same thing. You see, this is more of that good cop, bad cop. They try to keep people running around in a circle and thinking that somehow just see if we just had the someone more like the Trump people here, see, it would be better. You're going to get the same. You're going to guarantee you're going to get the exact same thing. You got the Trump people is another example of this. You have the Trump people doing this. You know, claiming they're going to deport all of these people. They've deported fewer people than the Obama administration, but they're making this big show of sending masked goons out in the street, grabbing randos and shoving them into a van. But the people they are deporting is people who are in the country legally, you know, on a student visa, who take part in any sort of written or protest criticism of Israeli policy. They're getting the boot, immediately deported. Meanwhile, you have people that are in the country illegally and they're going about it in this ham-handed, oh, well, we'll grab some guy off the street and throw him in a van. Like you're going to deport millions of people that way. That's stupid. So you see, it's all just more of the same theaters, fan. It's just they're able to look at the UK and point at it and say, look how bad they are. When really, if you dig, just scratch below the surface, to have the same thing in store for all of us.
Well, that thing about them just grabbing people and throwing them in the back of the van, there is this idea that that's basically getting the American public used to seeing people just grabbed off the street and thrown into the back of a van. And that same treatment lies in wait for the people that are criticizing Israel. Because what's happening here is the same thing as over here. In Britain, they'll send a letter to this Eva Vladingerbrock saying, you're not conducive to the public good, so we're not going to allow you into the country. But in America, in order to get into America, you have to give them all your social media posts now. And if there's criticism of Israel in those social media posts, you won't be told, I don't think, the reason. You'll just be told you can't come in. And that will be that. But the news will be all about this Eva Vladingerbrock, the individual that was sent this letter, but through the back door, America is doing exactly the same thing with these social media posts. Now, as I said, the American administration also talked about some other people that have been banned. The ban on Southern came just days after fellow Canadian commentator and author Brittany Pettibone and her husband Martin Selner, the leader of the Identitarian Movement of Austria, were detained at Heathrow Airport and prevented from entering the UK. Selner quipped at the time that the UK will open its border to immigration, but blocking dissenting opinions will only help to grow the silent majority that disagrees with the government. And I think Brittany Pettibone was actually coming over at that time to interview Tommy Robinson, and they didn't want her to interview Tommy Robinson for some reason. I think it must really get up their nose, actually, that there is this sense of unity amongst nationalists, civic nationalists and ethno-nationalists across the Atlantic. And we really do appreciate the American help, and I'm sure Americans appreciate British help, but there is this friendship among nationalists across the Atlantic, really pretty much between all the Anglo speakers, all the English speakers. And I think it really, really annoys our individual governments, and they really can't stand it. If they could, I think they would just ban us from talking to people outside of our country or outright. Instead of that, what they are able to do is actually ban these people when they do come over here to Britain to interview us or to speak at our conferences. Do you remember when this happened, Grandpa? I think it was probably about 2016, the same time as Matt Heimbach and Richard Spencer were banned. Martin Selner and Brittany Pettibone. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do remember. I do remember that happening. And yeah, it's just, again, legitimate systems aren't this frightened of dissent, you know, and it just, they can't help it, but they're really telegraphing how fragile I think the system is. And the fact is that they don't represent the people. That's why they're so desperate to keep everybody, buying into the system. So, you know, it's just what it is. And we have to accept the reality. Like you say, it's great that people find a certain amount of solidarity, because we're kind of all in the same boat, essentially. Now you did bring up a really good point, and I was kind of trying to fish that point out and get my words together here, but they set a precedent, and you brought up something that I was saying last year when they started this. You know, and when the Trump people started sending in these ski mask wearing goons grabbing people off the street, you know, last year before you got out, I was telling people, don't cheer for this. Exactly what you just said, Sven. What they're doing here is normalizing the idea of federal goons grabbing randos off the streets, like the vanning of draft people in the Ukraine. They're normalizing the idea of people wearing ski masks, grabbing you off the street and shoving you in the van. And then after that, who knows what happens to you? That's all they're doing. They're normalizing it because people were like, oh yeah, we're finally cracking down on immigration. They're normalizing these things. I'm glad you brought that up. Stories like this also are an example of how they set an example. You know, you have these stories of somebody getting cracked down on, you know, you're not allowed in the country. And what does that say to other people, less famous people? Well, I better keep my mouth shut. You know, it really silences people, get afraid to say anything because they don't want to go to the airport and be told that, I can't go where I was planning to go on my family vacation because I said that thing one time. So it squashes dissent. It makes people be really afraid. And the system works like this, regardless of what country it's in. They set a few prominent examples. You know, it's kind of like in the old Eastern Bloc countries back during the Cold War. They got people to be paranoid that the KGB was listening to everybody. Well, the KGB wasn't listening to everybody, but you were paranoid enough because they would make harsh examples of a few people. Everybody else was scared into silence. They're using the exact same playbook. And this will become multiple times worse when they institute, if they institute a digital ID, because then you could just get a letter saying, well, that one time you said this and that's not approved, that's hate or whatever sort of ridiculous morality they decide to dress it up as. And so, you know, you're losing access to your bank account. You're losing, you know, you're losing your social credit score or whatever. They'll make examples of people. They don't have to do it to everybody. That becomes untenable. They're not going to do it to everybody. They're going to make a few harsh examples of people and really crack down and make their life a living hell. And that way everybody else looks at it and says, well, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want that to be me. So they shut the hell up. And that's, that ultimately is the end goal.
Yeah, that's the point of it. Don't you dare complain about the government, or we'll see to it that you aren't able to leave the country or go anywhere else. And you better not complain about anybody else's government either. Otherwise, you won't be allowed into their country. That's the message that it sends. Getting back to the quotes here. Americans have also been impacted by the selective border enforcement, including in 2009 when the then left-wing government of Gordon Brown decided to bar best-selling author and nationally syndicated radio host Michael Savage over his criticism of Islam and immigration. And that was back before I was a nationalist. I remember the Gordon Brown government, but I'm not aware of this Michael Savage. And this shows you really just how long this has been going on for, that people have been critical of immigration and have been banned from getting into countries and been silenced. I mean, this is 2009. It's like 17 years ago. And we're now facing all of these problems that this Michael Savage was quite rightly warning about all the way back then. Then Home Secretary Jackie Smith justified the ban by claiming that Savage was someone who has fallen into the category of fermenting hatred of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that it is actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed into the country. And this is quite interesting that, I mean, she's being quite extreme in her language there, saying that he has extreme views and is expressing them in a way that could cause violence. And yet when I looked him up on Wikipedia, he's the second most popular radio host in the whole of America at the time when he had his radio show. I think he's too old for it now. I don't think he's even alive still. But this just shows you that what is actually popular is what the government will describe as being extreme. And the violence that could have been caused was probably violence against him. It was probably a threat against people going to see him. It would have been a threat by the left against him, because they will use the threat of left-wing violence as a reason to shut down right-wing protests, shut down right-wing speech, as if it's the right-wing person's fault that the left are threatening violence, when you should be tolerant of what other people say. We're supposed to be a tolerant country. It's supposed to be one of British values. It's supposed to be tolerant of other people's points of view. And we're not tolerant of other people's points of view. We're completely intolerant of nationalist viewpoint, and we ban people from having a nationalist viewpoint from even getting into our country if they come from elsewhere, as we see here. In 2019, Savage requested that then Prime Minister Boris Johnson overturn the ban, given that Johnson had openly opposed the move in 2009. However, the supposedly conservative Prime Minister took no action on the matter during his term. So 10 years later, this Savage, Michael Savage, was still banned from Britain, and Boris Johnson, the Conservative Prime Minister, did not overturn the ban. As I say, at the time of the Conservatives being in power, that was when Lauren Southern and Brittany Pettibone and Martin Selner were all banned from entering the country, alongside Matthew Heimbach and Richard Spencer. Do you know, have you heard of this fellow, this radio host, Michael Savage? Grandpa, got any thoughts on it?
Well, I know who he is. I have never listened to him, so I can't be intimately familiar with what he's, you know, what he has said. But again, you have this example, you know, then Boris Johnson, who was critical of it at the time. You know, when they did it, he was like, oh, this is an outrage. You shouldn't be doing this. And then he's in power. And the guy's like, okay, you're in power now. You were critical of it. How about lifting the ban so I can come over there? No, you know, it's they always show you who they are. They're not going to lift the ban. which tells you that he would do the same thing. He's essentially Boris Johnson did the same thing by not lifting the ban. All of that talk before we got up there and made these grand speeches of how awful this was and they shouldn't be doing this. He didn't mean any of that. If he meant it, that would have been the first order of business is lift the ban and show people that, see, I was sincere by what I said. No. They also, you know, you see, you know, you reference Heimbach and Richard Spencer. There's what I mean. They start with these other people. They're less sympathetic. And so you kind of shrug it off because, you know, even I'm like, yeah, I kind of, you know, if you're not going to let Heimbach and Spencer in, I kind of don't blame you. But you see, that's the bait. That's how they hook you in. They tighten the box and then you wind up with these other people that aren't. You know, it always tightens in. It's always going to affect everybody. People don't care when it's happening to somebody else that they don't like. And they never seem to catch on that eventually the same noose is going to be, you know, tightened around him. Again, I've talked about because it's a big happening. I'm going to get into it, I think, a little more on the show. Because you have these events. COVID was an event, and they're put on, they're staged, they're planned, you know, with a bigger agenda in mind. And you often don't realize that until hindsight. But COVID was a big event. This current thing we have happening over here with the ICE stuff, especially up in it's all centered up in Minnesota right now. This is another event that's going on. And, you know, people look at this and the Trump supporters will be like, you know, they see the masked goons, you know, clashing with these leftist people who are essentially the same people you saw rioting during BLM. And they're like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, let them. Yeah, this is a great thing. And it's like, how many times do we have to see this? You know, right now they say we don't know who they're shoving in these vans. They say, oh, we're shoving this guy in the van. He's an illegal. Where there's been multiple cases now to where it turns out they had to release the person because they weren't an illegal. They just grabbed some guy they didn't like that was, you know, protesting against them. And again, you have an unsympathetic group of people. You have the same purple haired leftist people who were all over BLM and now they're clashing with federal agents and people sign with the ICE people. But when you look at the Trump administration's other things they've telegraphed, I mean, Donald Trump has now appointed some rabbis and anti-Semitism czar. It's not hard to see where this is going. And the very same people that are cheerleading because the ICE people are grabbing randos and clashing with leftist protesters when the net tightens, when the box gets smaller and anti-Semites are being, you know, quote unquote anti-Semites. And that definition is so broad, it could basically mean anybody. They're the ones getting stuffed in the van and everybody will sit around and go, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe this is happening. And likely when that comes about will be when they switch teams and you'll have a team D leader in and then they'll do this. And then the Trump people, when it was Trump doing it, were fine with it. And now it's a team D and it's them. The roles are reversed and the leftists that are clashing will cheer it on and say, this is great. They're defeating the Nazis. And the Trump people go, oh my gosh, it's an outrage. What about my Constitution? This is the game they play. And it just drives me nuts because people keep buying into the game. They keep playing the game along with them. Which side should I cheer for? Don't cheer for any of them. None of them are on. None of these parties, none of these politicians, they're not on your side. If you're in the UK, if you're in America, if you're any of these democracy countries, one thing you could be rest assured, no matter what party's in power, no matter what president or prime minister or whatever, none of them are on your side.
Well, I don't really think I can add anything to that other than to say thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Albion. At Radio Albion.